Yeah. WTIC. So this is why... This is why I'm pleased when Democrats do things like this, because we get to point out the actual truth of what's going on, and they get to try to, in real time, offer the lie, the cover-up, the facade, and then we get to understand further and dig deeper into the ways that they deceive us. Deceiving us is what government does. That's how government works, because we're in this dynamic during this era where government sees its job as to endlessly grow. And this is a horrible thing, the endless growth. It's not just, some people get tired of hearing about constitutional references. And I understand that gets tedious because you don't really understand, well, why should we care about the Constitution? It's just something that was done a couple hundred years ago. However, there is a premise, and that premise is that we should be free to live our lives. That's the exciting part about the Constitution, and that's why the reference to it is important, is because the point of our society was to have one in which the government's job isn't to make us the subjects of the government. That is, we exist to serve their needs. The purpose of the government in our system, first in human history, designed this way, and that's what makes it so brilliant, is that we get to live our lives. And the job of our government is to make sure that our individual pursuits and our right to engage in those pursuits is protected. What a glorious thing. But now we've gotten to a point where there's this whole big excuse made up, this compassion excuse made up for, oh, they just have to help people. And that the sympathy they engender with that phony compassion argument is the tool they use to justify robbing us blind and squandering the money to buy votes instead of to actually produce what they're supposed to produce for us, which is protecting our liberty and letting us keep our money. All right. Yeah, it's WTIC. They are just a piece of work, they are. The ripoff artists, the thieves, the scoundrels, the plunderers. Federal transportation administrators will be in Hartford on Friday to meet with Governor Ned Lamont. Listen to this sentence. And lawmakers to discuss a plan to fund a 10-year transportation infrastructure plan. These words are key. Without significant highway tolls. Without significant highway tolls. How do you interpret that phrase? Tolls are a-coming. Yes, Paul Revere should ride. The tolls are coming. The tolls are coming. These guys are determined not only to increase the size of government in every way and at every turn they can possibly think of, but they want it to be magnificent. They want it to be huge. They want it to be legendary. They want to increase the size of the government so much that, and by the way, in a self-sustaining way, that is so that it can automatically increase. So they don't have to go back to the well and make an argument. Granted, it's an illegitimate argument. It's a fake argument. It's a fabricated argument. But they don't want to have to go to all that work. They think what they do is so important and so precious and so lovely and of such historic and compassionate importance that the amount of money flowing into their hands should increase automatically without having the people involved. The people have become a nuisance. Because the people don't always see eye to eye with the plunderers, and the plunderers don't like this. They want to be granted free access to unlimited amounts of money, which they have virtually done. But again, they've had to be creative. They've had to lie. They've had to build unholy alliances. Yes, unions. And that requires work. They don't like working. They just like spending. Because spending assures them of permanent power. And this is something it took me a long time to get my head around. So I understand than it might sound like I'm just spouting off. But this is the truth of what I've learned in my, 20 years of doing talk radio and studying and trying to come to terms with why government is so insidious. When you look at it closely, all you see is lying and cheating, because that's all they're doing, is lying and cheating to figure out how to get more money. So they have this idea of tolls as being the promised land, because what happens when you put in tolls? Well, you put in tolls and there are all these variables. Yeah, you get to raise how much the fee is for going under the toll. You get to put in as many of those gantries as you want. But then there's this beautiful thing the federal government created, congestion pricing, where the amount you pay can vary based on where you're going, at what time you're going there, and how many other people are going there at the same time. Then they can create a transportation agency, a tolling agency, and give it the power to change those rates based on financial necessity or whatever other scam they can think of. And this is what has them so excited. The feeling of unlimited funds, the idea that they can also pretend that the money is coming largely from out-of-state drivers, which is another hoax. A lot of phony stories get hidden into this word called tolls, and tolls isn't even a word called taxes. It isn't even that ugly three-letter word. It's just a four-letter word. And everybody knows a four-letter word coming from our elected officials directed at us is much better than the three-letter word. The three-letter word is the dirtiest thing in the history of mankind, because they don't care how much they take. So they're meeting with federal officials so federal officials can tell them how to make a 10-year transportation infrastructure plan. Four words here are important: without significant highway tolls. Without significant highway tolls. Without significant highway tolls. What is a significant highway toll? What is a significant highway? Well, what is an insignificant highway toll? I don't think there is any such thing. All tolls, any toll, if they put up one little old-fashioned bucket, and when you drive by, you're supposed to throw your quarter in, that is the beginning of the end. Because these people are the devil. And all the devil wants is for you to pay your dues. 860-522-9842. Yeah, Mike, my producer, says I'm being a little hyperbolic with the devil stuff, but I don't think so. Like, what do you call somebody who wants to take everything you have? And after they've achieved maximum taxation, whatever that is, you know, how do you measure it? The only way I can think of to measure it is look at Connecticut's performance as a state. Connecticut, this rich, wonderful, beautiful place. So strategically located. It's got waterfront. It's got mountains. It's got tons of beautiful, undeveloped land. It's got proximity to New York City and proximity to Western Mass and proximity to Boston. I mean, it's golden. And they have found a way to make sure that Connecticut can't perform the way their surrounding states can perform. How have they done that? How have they done it? How have they managed to make Connecticut the outlier? The state with all its talents, with all its industry, the state that companies run from, that nobody in their right mind would move a business to, and that is in the top tier of states in the country that people are leaving to find sanctuary from hyper-taxation and oppressive regulation. So all you have to do is look at the growth and the lack of it in Connecticut. Look at that. Look at the departure rate. Look at the second highest taxes in the country. And that paints a pretty good picture. of how they have killed Connecticut. So, yeah. I don't mind being a little loose with the hyperbole, because here they come again. The formula for destruction works so well that they're looking for new ways to expand it all the time. 860-522-9842. Pete calling from East Hartford. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Todd. You haven't seen anything yet, Todd.
What do you mean?
Boychuk, you better watch out. Connecticut is going to be the flagship state for what they want to do coming up the pike. Not too significant right now, but you heard it here first. For example, it's going to might come down to if this extreme left, totally bizarre people get their way, they're going to come knocking at your door. They're going to say, how many people live here? Your house is too big. The Chang family is going to occupy one floor. And then, do you hear me?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about.
Now, even worse than that, here's what's coming up. I hope they don't get any ideas, but every newborn baby boy is going to have a little chip implanted, you know, where they do the circumcision. And every time you want to have a kid or satisfy yourself, you'll be taxed for it.
Well, we're being taxed for everything already, Pete. So that sounds like pretty much more of the same. Thanks so much for the call. 860-522-WTIC. All right. Maybe some new people can call in. We need some new voices. Maybe somebody who's never even called a radio station before would call in right now. 860-522-9842 and give your opinion. Are you shocked at the word devil? I don't feel badly about talking like that. It's unbelievable what they do. It's unbelievable how they've driven the state into the ground and are coming back for more. This, you know, the exciting thing really about the new meals tax, the supermarket meals tax. The great thing about the supermarket tax and the reason they're so panicked, running around bickering, you know, having this wonderful back and forth, Democrats and Republicans, Republicans saying, well, we need a special session to fix this mess that Democrats made. And Democrats said, no, it wasn't our fault. We just passed a law, and somehow these morons in the Department of, what do they call it again? Revenue Services. Why is it when I hear that word, that name, Revenue Services, I think they're talking about servicing in the sexual sense. In other words, we're getting screwed. That's what Revenue Services. So they're blaming their own bureaucrats for screwing this up. And by the way, if there were a real governor in Hartford instead of a pretend goofball governor, the real governor would be in communication with Revenue Services. But Ned says he hasn't done that. Sorry, I apologize, Nate, for confusing you with the governor. Hi.
Hi, Todd.
Go ahead.
Just like to comment that the roads and the traffic are so bad right now before tolls. I can't imagine what they would be like with tolls.
Sorry, the what's so bad?
The traffic on the roads right now on our highways.
Oh, well, see, what their idea is to make the tolls so oppressively high that it gets people off the road. And so part of the deal is they intend to drive poor people and middle class people off the roads during commuting hours when the roads are busy, so the affluent can cruise to work unabated.
Sounds wonderful.
Doesn't it? That's how compassion works.
Thank you, Todd.
That's how compassion rolls. Isn't that funny? It's a funny thing. Thank you, Nate, for the call. 860-522-WTIC. Hector sounds like a new caller, a first-time caller. I don't think I've ever had a Hector call me before. I've had some hecklers, but not a Hector.
Well, I could be both if you wanted me to.
No, I you just do your thing. Go for it.
Well, I'm just calling because Lifelong resident of Connecticut, and just up in arms as how much this state has changed in just the last 25 years.
Yeah, which one?
What are the other states, like example Florida, what are they doing that they're doing phenomenal down there? And
small government
taxes, and over here we're dying.
Yeah, it's just small government in Florida. New Hampshire's doing the same thing. Economy's booming there. But, you know, Massachusetts has big government, but their government's economy is hot too. They haven't driven everybody out of the state. They used to call it Taxachusetts, but now it's Connecticutachusetts or something. I'm not sure what we call this place.
But we're in cahoots together.
It's a mess, and it's done deliberately. But, you know, if it were a mistake, that would be fine. But this batch of Democrats who just took power, a brand new super duper business experienced governor just took over. And what was his idea for how to fix the situation Connecticut was in? His idea was to go back and raise taxes like nobody had ever done that before. He thought that would be brilliant.
Well, it was a great idea. He even announced it before he even got elected.
Well,
we still elected him here.
Yeah, well, yeah, but he said that he wasn't going to do tolls on cars, so he did.
No, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I mean, his magic wand of a magic toll, just like the magic bus from New Britain to Hartford.
He just thought the happy demeanor was going to put the state in a good mood, and if the state was in a good mood, everything would be fine. Thank you, Hector. Great call. Good to hear from you. All right. This is going to be fun, I think, because the guy who's here in studio, his name is Dr. Aaron Lewis. He was a Democrat candidate for mayor of Hartford, but he left the Democratic Party a long time ago now, whole week. And now he is running for the Libertarian, as the Libertarian endorsed candidate for mayor. So he's still in the race.
Yes.
Hello there. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. So tell us about this epiphany you had a week ago. What happened?
Oh, the epiphany. What a word. I've been a Democrat, you know, pretty much all of my life. My parents were Democrats. They still are. And it's just the party, the go-to party for people of color, for immigrants, for minorities. And the infrastructure within the party teaches us or brainwashes us.
Oh, brainwashes, yes.
that's the party, you know, for people that has any melanin in their skin to go to, and that they're going to defend our rights. They're going to be the party that talks about our freedoms.
Do people not notice that the people, that life is not good for people who Democrats are in love with?
You know, it's let me tell you something. I'm an educated man,
mm-hmm.
and so I drink the juice as well.
Yes, it doesn't have to do with education. As a matter of fact, it's harder to get the truth through an educated skull
right. Than
it is an uneducated one.
Got you.
People are open to inputs from the outside world. The educated class think they've figured everything out.
Well, maybe I was in that class, and the problem is that, you know, the way that they wave the magic wand, you know, to hypnotize all of us into believing that we're going to be better off by their policy is absolutely insane. And so when I came to that realization that, you know, are we any better off as a people? Is Hartford any better off under Democratic leadership? Is this party loyal to the people, or is it loyal only to the people that are in the higher tier of that party?
Well, I think it's just loyal to money.
It's just loyal to money.
But if you think about,
but they'll never let you know that, though.
Yeah, so you have to listen to different. Well, something got through to you. What penetrated your consciousness?
I mean, the betrayal of the people in the party. I mean, you know, consider the fact that my colleague, as well as my competition, Stan McCauley, he's running on a Republican ticket. I'm running on a Libertarian ticket. We were both Democrats that were completely dishonored and disrespected, because when we started to see and challenge what the system was actually spoon-feeding people in Harvard that was poisoning them. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you say anything, then all of a sudden you become the demagogue. You become the person that's stamped.
What did you say that brought down the anvil on your head?
I mean, one of the things that I've been a conscientious objector to is the educational system in Harvard. The kids are failing at an all-time high. Every time I say that, you know, I get backlash. The incumbent says, you know, we've got a lot of work and we've got more work to do. We've done a lot of work. We've got more work to do. Mm-hmm. The kids are failing. I mean, just plain and simple at epic proportions.
Well, you can't win in a system that's rigged, and you especially can't succeed in a system that's rigged to have one source. Can you imagine education, the most important thing we do, educating young people?
Right.
It's the only thing in the country that we leave in the hands of the government completely.
But how crazy is that?
Well, it's insane, because the one thing we know is the only way you get good results is through markets and competition.
But then the Democratic Party would be at the top of the totem pole of allowing the government to have free reign, particularly over children within inner cities, to do absolutely nothing.
So to make the picture a little uglier, the one place where there isn't an option, right? Wealthy people have private schools.
Right.
There are options. If you're affluent, you pick your town based on what kind of school system it has,
absolutely,
and what you can afford. Okay. If you live in the town that can't afford the alternatives, that's where the Democrats want to keep you. That's the one where they say we will not change the system. You cannot have alternatives. You cannot have choice. You don't deserve to have what the rich people have.
But Todd, I think it's even worse than that, because then they actually try to convince you that a school where children are failing, where children are dying, where children are dropping out of schools, and this is data. We have research to prove it. They try to convince you the schools are doing fine.
Like 60, what is the 60%? Are proficient or not proficient?
You're being very generous. I run a literacy foundation that I founded in the city of Harvard.
Just give me a quick number.
It's nowhere near that. It's probably truer.
30%?
38%.
35. Okay.
Right.
Sorry. I'm not good with numbers. That's why I have my accountant here. We're going to get a traffic update and continue with Dr. Aaron Lewis. Stay with us on WTIC. Mike Allen is in the traffic center. What's going on, Mike? 860-522-9842. Aaron Lewis is his name. Was a Democrat running for mayor of Hartford. Now is a Libertarian. Quit that darn Democratic Party. And that's because you felt like you couldn't have honest conversation. Is that what you would say? If you had to put this in a quick little...
Couldn't have honest conversation. The party's full of betrayers, people that will try to scandalize your name, to create lies for their advancement, start race wars within the party so that
well,
they
that
can...
you should welcome.
Oh, geez. Well,
because, I think if we can just talk about the opportunity to win. The opportunity to win, it would seem to me, is to start talking in racial terms. Mm-hmm. That Democrats are the party of racism. Mm-hmm. And the party of bigotry and the party of failure for the poor.
Right.
It's really, to me, it's not so much a skin color issue.
Right, right.
It's
classism.
It's classism. And they store their voters in the poorest places they can create. And then they make sure they stay poor forever. So we've gone in the last 50 years, from the 1960s when we spent on a federal basis nothing on keeping people out of poverty. And now we spend like $2.5 trillion a year to keep people out of poverty.
Right.
And there's as much poverty, and that poverty is permanent, and it's been elevated in terms of the income levels of what we call poor people. So it's not as bad being poor as it used to be, but they've created this system where the voters who they claim to love and care about so much, oozing compassion out of every pore for, those people don't have opportunity, because there's only one way to get opportunity, right? And it's what you brought up. It's education.
It's education. The poorest people in Harvard has historically, within the past 3 years, an unavowed love and loyalty to the incumbent who's done nothing for the city.
Yeah, what is the trick?
I'm really trying to figure that out, to be honest with you. sometimes it has much to do with historically how you know, the slave thought about the slave master.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is it like that they think that this great white hope has been sent in?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because when I watch, like, I put on a debate and I can't believe it. It's like the not ready for primetime players. So
the debate, did you see that?
And the mayor it looks like gloomy and sad to be there. And he's talking these robotic, ridiculous statements about the city.
That was different for me. I've never seen a debate like that in my life. I mean, I remember growing up watching the Kingswood-Oxford debates, and they were far more, a higher scale than the actual the mayor debate. That was weird. That was strange.
You don't expect them to actually be having a debate, but you would think they would say something compelling, and that he in particular, it's really him I'm talking about, that there would be something wonderful and powerful coming out of his mouth about his vision for the city and his passion for it and the great strides and changes he wants to make. And then the others should be making the war happen.
I mean, here's the deal, is that unfortunately, and I'm saying this, and I'm a very, very strong and proud a black man, but historically, you don't have to do anything for black people to get their vote. You understand what I'm saying? And then in this day and
they're
age,
used to getting nothing. Is that what you're saying?
They're used not only used to getting nothing, is that when a white man comes before black people, that in and of itself becomes validation. That's it. Nothing else. We don't need better housing, better schools.
To me, the only way to disrupt that is to actually speak some truth in very harsh, direct
without
terms.
Any question.
So what's the pitch? What do you have your rap down? Do you know what the message is?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, some stuff is quite obvious. I mean, you know, while I completely believe I have five children. Four of them went to preparatory schools. Two went to the public school system in Hartford, graduated mm-hmm. from school system in Hartford. So, you know, I have the balance. I don't believe that that people should not have choice when it comes to sending their children to school. However, I do believe that the mayor of the city, if that person is saying that the school system is the best school system on the planet, the superintendent's doing an amazing job, I'm voting for this person, I'm routing for this person, but your kids were taken out of the school system. That's hypocrisy beyond imagination. And black people.
You mean the mayor?
Yeah, the mayor, right. Yeah. He took his kids out of the school system but the same school system that he says the superintendent is doing a fantastic job. She's not doing a fantastic job.
The truth is that until you get the money so it's not flowing through the hands of the unions,
right,
then you can't gain control of the schools.
Well,
all decision making in terms of school policy in this country, in this state, in the city, is based on what the union wants.
I mean, you know, yes and no. I mean, the budget is a little shy half of $1 billion for the school system. You know, I mean, my father's from Jamaica, West Indies. You know, they grew up in one room schoolhouses mm-hmm. and were far more educated than the most palatial schools.
So why aren't kids getting educated?
Because there's no compassion. That's simply why. There's no compassion.
In the land of compassion, there's no compassion. Run by the compassionate ones forever.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're being fooled by an entire party that tells you that we automatically, you know, co-sign your future as far as prosperity is concerned, and you believe that, there's a major, major problem.
But don't you think if schools had options in terms of what they were doing, if one school to the next was following a different philosophy, if teachers could get paid based on their value rather than based on what the union decides they're worth, wouldn't those types of changes provide an opportunity?
Without any question. But I believe that teachers should be able to teach. They're not able to teach in our school system. I feel bad for the teachers. And I 100%,
no, they are victims. Absolutely.
They're victims. I 100% support teachers. They're in a system that they're designed to fail. You understand? Because the system, particularly within the inner city, is not designed for children to do well. Dysfunction, particularly in the Democratic Party, pays. And so when children perform at high altitudes, the money dries up, particularly in the inner city. So it's an actual, it's a scheme. It's a scam. It's the greatest con on earth.
Well, it's not such a great con, but it's a successful
one. Well, it's a great con for the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Because it keeps money flowing through it.
All right, we just have a minute left. So give us your closing thoughts, and we'll have you back, too, because well, it's fun talking with you.
Go to AaronLewisForMayor.com, AaronLewisForMayor.com, and check out the website. Consider making a donation to the campaign, and vote for me on November 5th. I'm all about education. Education is what... It's what's going to actually fuel the economy, and it's going to also deal with public safety. Children that are educated are less likely to do many of the crimes that we see being done in society. So I'm all about education, and I believe that it needs to start from the top and flow down, because I don't know that our elected officials are acting like they're too educated these days.
And what's your how are you going to upset this connection that the mayor seems to have with voters?
I mean, first of all, the mayor has $1.2 million. That's really his connection. Mm-hmm. And so that amount of money can make the image seem that Democrats are right, Republicans, Libertarians, everybody else is wrong.
But ultimately, you've got a chance to deliver an alternative message. And if you have a powerful one, can't you shake that loose and make the money irrelevant?
Well, that's if the media outlets are not afraid to have me on. Because you got to understand, you know, if I'm paying money to, you know, The Current, if I'm paying money to WFSB, you know, you can boycott me from speaking my message.
So you think the media system is rigged?
In many senses, it is rigged. I mean, you know, I mean, I've been running for mayor since the very beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. I actually made my declaration before the incumbent did. And so, right. But they're afraid.
We got to run. What's the website again, quick?
It's AaronLewisForMayor.com.
For the symbol or
F-O-R.
F-O-R.
Okay. F-O-R. A-A-R-O-N-L-E-W-S-F.
Thanks so much for coming in. Great to meet you.